it's been a tumultuous year and a half for leadership at the Department of Veterans Affairs, starting with the ouster of its former secretary, David Shulkin, to the failed nomination attempt of Ronnie Jackson, President Trump's pick to head the agency. He was accused of drinking on the job and creating a hostile work environment. And now more questions are being raised about who's actually in charge of the agency, after a report from ProPublica exposed a group of three men outside the government who've been directing the VA from the president's private club, Mar-a-Lago. Isaac Arensdorf broke the story for ProPublica. He covers politics, influence, and the Trump administration. Isaac, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Let's start at the beginning. How did you first hear about these three men essentially running the VA from Mar-a-Lago?
Well, there were some rumors around Washington in the veterans policy community that there were these secret meetings happening in Mar-a-Lago, but no one really knew what they were or who was there. The one person who was sort of known was Ike Perlmutter, the chairman of Marvel Entertainment, who is a friend of President Trump's and had been advising him informally on veterans issues. And then at some point I figured out there was a doctor who was there, but I didn't have a name. I eventually got a name, and then I heard there was a lawyer, and eventually got a name, and was kind of slowly just piecing together the puzzle of what became a really sweeping, vast influence of these three guys from Mar-a-Lago that was happening completely unknown except to a few senior VA leaders who were interacting with them.
And so it's not unusual for presidents to have, you know, kind of an informal kitchen cabinet of people who he trusts to, you know, bounce off, ideas off of, things like that. What is different about this group of three men and how they are connected to the Veterans Affairs Administration?
Right. So presidents will consult with people outside government all the time. That's not unusual. But what's different about this is how they're like assigned specifically to an agency, and that it's not just the president talking to them, but it's actually the VA officials flying down to Mar-a-Lago at taxpayer expense to meet with them and ask them to review policy and personnel decisions before they take effect. So that is really, there's not really a precedent for that in modern history.
So you said that one is the head of Marvel Entertainment, one is a doctor, one is a lawyer. What are their qualifications, or why would they be this involved in the Veterans Administration?
That is the precise question that all these officials at the VA have been asking themselves for the past year and a half, because it really doesn't make any sense to them why an entertainment executive and a doctor who serves very wealthy people in Palm Beach and a lawyer who doesn't have any experience with veterans or healthcare, none of them has ever served in the U.S. government or U.S. military, why these guys, why they're making it their business, helping to decide what direction the Trump administration takes the VA in. But the answer is that they have the attention of the president, and in this case, that seems to be what counts.
And we talked about former Secretary David Shulkin. He was fired. As I read in your piece, he was actually basically put in place by this group.
So his name initially surfaced in a meeting that they organized at Mar-a-Lago, and they recommended him to President Trump, and that is a big part of how he ended up getting the job in the first place. And then there was a meeting after he was nominated, but before he was confirmed, where he went to Mar-a-Lago to meet them, and they kind of clearly established the ground rules, and this was one of the emails that I obtained through the Freedom of Information Act, where they made clear, you know, like, you're going to have to, well, we don't have to meet every month, but we're going to meet regularly, and we're going to be talking regularly, and we're going to be kind of like a board of directors, and we're going to be, like, overseeing you as, like, a CEO.
And so how involved have they been? And I was going to say, were they, but nothing has changed so far, as far as I'm aware. How involved have they been in the day-to-day workings of the Veterans Administration?
Extensively. I mean, there really isn't a major issue that's risen to the senior leadership that they haven't had a thing to say about. And they've been in touch with VA officials as often as every day, and about a whole range of policy issues. Probably the biggest one was a $10 billion contract to upgrade the agency's electronic health records. And the other thing that's happened that's very important is over the past year and a half, what you've seen is the people who got along with them got promoted, and the people who didn't get along with them were sidelined or pushed out.
We're talking with Isaac Arnsdorf right now. He covers politics, influence, and the Trump administration at ProPublica. We're talking about his extensive research and writing about a trio of men who belong to the Mar-a-Lago Club in Florida, which is owned by President Trump, who are basically running the Veterans Administration from behind the scenes. And Isaac, you know, is this legal? What are they doing that is either on the side of legality or getting into some pretty murky areas?
So, I mean, there's obviously no law against people expressing their views to government officials and government officials listening to outside stakeholders. But there is a law from the 1970s. It's a Watergate era sunshine law that says, if federal agencies are going to be consulting outside experts, they need to do it in an organized and transparent way. So they need to notify the public that they're doing this, they need to have public participation, and they need to have a range of perspectives on these committees. And so this week what happened is a veterans group sued the VA, claiming that this arrangement with these three guys at Mar-a-Lago bypasses that law, and you're not allowed to do that. So they're asking a judge to say that these guys aren't allowed to do what they're doing until they follow all the rules that that law says they have to follow, meaning disclose everything that they're doing and allow public participation.
There were questions about whether some of their business interests might be getting a boost, getting advanced by some of the actions. Are there possible other lawsuits that could eventually be brought against them?
So that's a tricky question. They're obviously not government officials who are subject to the ethics rules that government officials have to follow. Some lawyers, there is a Department of Justice opinion that when people exercise authority like government officials, they sometimes do have to abide by that. Now, these guys at Mar-a-Lago say that's not what's happening here, but just setting that aside, that would be something that would be enforceable by the Justice Department. So that would be the Trump administration enforcing it against the Trump administration. So that's sort of different from the situation I just described with the veterans group bringing a civil action from outside the government. But yeah, I mean, absolutely, you know, part of what why people are concerned about this arrangement is because when you don't have people following those ethics rules like government officials, it creates opportunities for people to support their own personal interests or pet causes. And you did see that that Secretary Shulkin at the New York Stock Exchange last November rang the closing bell with Captain America from Marvel and the parent company Disney. And that's kind of a weird thing for a government official to do. And they consulted the ethics officials within the agency. They were aware that this was questionable, and they wanted to make sure that it was kosher.
And very briefly, Isaac, as we wrap up, have you gotten any response after your story was published from those three men who are so involved in the VA?
Through a spokesperson, they sent me another statement yesterday, which basically reiterated what they said originally, which is that they did not exercise direct authority, and they were just volunteers who were providing advice to try to help the agency. And now, obviously, the question of whether that advice was optional or not in the eye of the people who were receiving it is not everyone agrees about that.
Well, Isaac, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
That was Isaac Arnsdorf, politics reporter at ProPublica. He was with us to talk about his story about a group of three men outside of the government who are influencing the direction of the VA.